is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Reset with your host, Radio Mike. Senhoras e senhores, bem-vindo ao Reset com o nosso Radio Mike.
Hello, and welcome to episode 10.
10.
Deuce.
What?
Deuce is 2, right?
Yes.
Then what's a duh? That's 10. Whatever, I don't care. Either way, we made it to 10 episodes. Yay. So, congratulations to us for making it to 10 episodes. It's like I'm back again with Lawrence.
Here.
Oh, wow, his communication skills are awesome.
They're as good as they need to be, considering.
Very reminiscent of, you know, the Republican Party right now. I see, look, I got a rise out of him with that.
I wouldn't brag about that.
It's like he's Republican, BTW.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right, I'll be Republican for this episode.
Yeah, be Republican for this episode. I'd like to know the Republican point of view on the game we're going to talk about today. It'd probably be like, don't play it as sex. It's like, and although it doesn't, because the game we're actually going to talk about today is Star Ocean The Last Hope, or as I like to call it, Star Ocean Tila. And that's TLH, Nutella. like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. The game was released on March 3rd of this year. It was released on the Xbox 360 console exclusively.
Yep.
And I just want to talk about that real quick. Star Ocean was actually and originally being developed for the PlayStation 3 console and the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Something happened, some more stuff happened, and then it decided that it was going to be on the 360 exclusively, at which point that was June when we had that discussion. I told you I was getting my Xbox.
Yeah, something like that.
I told you if Star Ocean goes to the 360, I swear I'm going to get an Xbox, and lo and behold, it's coming to the Xbox. It's on the Xbox. I have an Xbox.
And it's not on the PS3.
And it's not on the PS3.
And Sony fanboys are mad.
And it's never coming to the PS3, which is sad, I guess.
It's okay, Sony fanboys. You can play movies with universal remotes now. I mean, you can't play games ever. But you
can watch a whole bunch of movies.
So
I hear Blu-rays are getting ready to get discounted, like, pretty hard because of the economy.
I hear people are seriously trying to, like, buy a $200 peripheral that allows you to use wireless universal remotes with your PlayStation 3. Like, that's really drawing.
Okay. Well, Star Ocean, as you know, is an ongoing series developed by Tri-Ace and the original company, Enix, who helped develop the games and publish them, now owned by Square, which is now Square Enix or Squeenix, as a lot of people like to call it. And, you know, still being developed by Tri-Ace, they released this, the fourth title in the series, the first of which being Star Ocean, now renamed for the PSP First Departure, and then the second Star Ocean, which is now released Second Departure on the PSP as well.
No, it's Second Evolution, actually.
It's Second Evolution, Second Departure. You're doing it another time. And then Star Ocean 3, which was
Till the End of Time,
and that was on the PS2. And now we have the Last Hope, and this is released on the Xbox 360, and this game takes place promptly, I'm going to say 90 years before the events of the first Star Ocean. So this is a prequel.
Yeah.
This is pretty much what launches man into space. Man decides that, you know, we've completely and utterly destroyed the face of Earth. Earth is no longer livable. So you know what we have to do? We have to go to the only other place that we didn't screw up yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like white people to do that. It's like destroy the... Because wasn't this the same thing in The Matrix? They were like, you know what, we should block out the sun. And they did it, and then they were mad.
It's like, ooh.
Exactly. So it's like, you know what, we're going to... Yeah, nuclear war. and they didn't realize that other people had nukes, so all the nukes go off. And this is spoilers, because this happens in all the commercials you see.
Yeah, this is like the first 5 minutes of the game you find.
Like, submarines come out of the ocean, and they shoot nukes. Earth is no longer livable. They decide that they have to do something, so manifest destiny all over it. They decide to go to space. So they go to space, and they set up their first space stations, and they start to get the technology proper. I can't remember the name of the gentleman. I think his name is Dr. Bakhtine. He develops the first... what is that thing called? The quantum processor or whatever.
Made up anime engine.
Whatever the thing is that's made up in this game that allows the warp technology. Thank you, Michael. I had to think myself because you didn't help me. Lawrence, you're supposed to help me.
I did help you.
No, you didn't. You didn't.
Made up.
Oh my God.
None of it makes any difference.
Yes, we're
not
it does.
Talking about like all of the whimsy and how creative people got with syllables on a dartboard. We're talking about the game and how it plays, whether it plays at all, really.
Okay. All right, whatever. Anyway, so Professor Bakhtine makes the warp drive, and he makes warp travel successful. Fast forward through time. Now, mind you, at this point, we're in, I think, like, timeline-wise, like, real time. It's like 2086 going into 2097.
Yeah, something like that.
They decide to change the name of time, because that obviously doesn't work anymore. So from this point on, we use the Stardate system.
Space dates, actually.
Or space date. Space date 1 is, like, now the new standard. Thank you for correcting me, Dad. It's like, what would I do without you?
As opposed to, like, Earth dates, like, space dates.
Well, yeah, because obviously we're in space. We need space time. So we travel into space, and the first actual mission for the new team traveling into space to find a habitable place for the Earthlings to go to, because once again, just like us, can't live in our house no more. Let's go to somebody else's house and use that until we can't use that no more. And then you know, the cycle continues. But we're in space now, so who's going to stop us? So the first team set out, which is the SRF team, the Space Reconnaissance Force, right?
Yeah, something
saying
like that.
That right?
Yeah,
Space
yeah.
Reconnaissance Force.
If you're not, nobody cares except for the nerds anyway. So. Oh, wait, right. But anyway.
It's like they're set out to go out into space and, you know, once again, find this habitable planet. How many ships shoot out with them? I think it's like five ships total.
Yeah.
Go out in the first initial wave of ships going out, and the game starts from that. So, standard JRPG nonsense.
It's like you are, yeah, again, standard. You are a kid.
You are a kid trying to be a man. His name is Edge Maverick.
Maverick Edge.
Edge Maverick. That is his grown name.
Like Schick Disposable Razor.
It sounds like one of those commercials. Like, use the Edge Maverick. Get close up on your face and shave it.
Just a chick rubbing your butt cheeks.
Just booty smooth faces with your Edge Maverick.
No, but seriously, like yeah.
Oh, that is stupid.
You start off, your kid. Guy's mad because his brother got promoted to captain, and he's still doing, like, you know, janitorial duties on this other ship, basically. And, like, well, it establishes that, like, yeah, you already have a grudge against somebody that's like, you know, your potential antagonist, possibly.
Yeah, that's your driving force for now.
And then, like, you, of course, there's a girl on the ship who maybe has feelings for you, maybe doesn't.
But it's so ambiguous. Like, that's always the thing.
It's like you're my friend, but I care a little more about you than I really should.
It's like, we lived together for such a long time, but I don't want to get close to you because, ew, that's icky. You're my big brother, Oni-san. But there are people who are into that.
So anyway, with that said... Why is it always a good... Well, she's not like a little kid like that. That's later.
Oh, yeah, there's lowly. Oh, there's all kinds later. Of stuff in this. Like, if you are Asian right now, you've been playing the game.
Yeah,
that's what you got at 364, was this in Infinite Undiscovery. They just been putting JRPGs out. But, like, this is in a long series and a track record of games. Not even, like, other companies have been releasing, but specifically Square Enix has been released. Square Enix has released 3 JRPGs in this console. Yes.
At least 3.
Infinite Undiscovery, Last Remnant, and Star Ocean.
And Star Ocean, yes. Right.
I was thinking Lost Odyssey was theirs too, but no, that was from those crappy people who made Blue Dragon.
In conjunction with Mistwalker and Namco, there have been near, if not just over 10 JRPGs
in this one console cycle.
On the Xbox 360.
Now, could you imagine?
Like
could you imagine if this
years.
Was the PS2 cycle? Yeah, what did all the JRPGs come out on? The PS2. You got a PS2 because you wanted to play RPGs.
Yeah, that was like two.
And now what do you need in order to play RPGs? You need a 360. Crazy. Crazy. That is very crazy. There's been a paradigm shift in the gaming universe that we've seen. So we talked a little bit about the story. I want to speak really quickly about the characters that you meet in the beginning of the game. You already talked a little bit about Edge.
Yep.
And you didn't say her name, but her name is Raimi.
Yep.
Raimi Sionji. She has a very weird name. Doesn't mean anything, though.
Yeah, dartboard syllables again.
Space.
Yeah. Space
name. Space name. You go to space, you get a new name. Space name. Just like when you go to space, you space money.
Space bank.
Actually, there probably is a space bank, like the Universal Bank of Space. Now, it's like, so you use, you don't use space money. You use a foal.
No, which is space money.
Foal, which is the standard money
in space.
In space. So now that you're in space, there's a standard currency. It's called foal, which is really cool because all the enemies that have nothing to do with you that haven't been to space yet have foal on them and drop foal. I never understood that.
Like, that's an RPG convention. It's like you kill enemies and they drop stuff that they should not be carrying.
You know,
like
magic
money.
Fire rings and money.
Yeah.
It was a monster need with money. Monster clothes, monster stuff.
Monster exfoliating cream.
It's like I hate it when my face is all bumpy. Gotta use it.
Like monsters talking to each other. It's like, why are you carrying money? It's like, I'm not carrying money. That's the money you could be saving when you switch to Geico.
Exactly. Yeah, and then he comes up. He's like, your face wouldn't have been so bumpy if you'd used your Edge Maverick. Done.
And then Edge Maverick walks up and...
And then he proceeds to blindside you, which is something funny that we would like to talk about because that's actually about the combat.
Yep.
But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk more about the gameplay and all the things that make this game awesome to me. And then Lawrence is going to talk about all the things that doesn't make the game awesome to him. So we'll be right back after these messages.
ただ誰よりも優しすぎたんだね。教えてやるありのままの真実。そして君は出会うだろう。希望の海へ、星の彼方へ。スターオーシャン、ザ・ラストホープ。 人は宇宙へ、希望の海へ。星の海の物語はここから始まった。
All right, and we're back. Hope you enjoyed that commercial. It was Star Ocean, The Last Hope, for those who didn't know that it was Star Ocean because it was in Jabotese. So we're going to talk about the battle system now. What, was that funny to you? Okay. You like the way I say that? Jabotese. Jabonese. Oh man, General Akbar. He knows. Alright, so the battle system in the game is they don't have a really funny name for it, because I know in the old games they used to give it a name like Intricate Battle or Dynamic Side Battle. It's like, it's not that deep. It's a free roaming real time battle system. If you played Star Ocean, any of the Star Oceans, actually, it's pretty much the same thing, except it's in HD. You can use four characters in battle, so at any given time, you'll control one character, and the other characters, up to four, will be controlled by AI. Now, the AI protocols are, they have a pretty wide range. It's like, you know, focus attack on one enemy, focus attack on different enemies, and then it's like focus attack without using MP, focus attack on enemies without using MP, and then pretty much peace out, which is like don't get into battles, try not to get hurt, and use support to heal people. The battles themselves are pretty fast-paced, and I think that's good because it leads itself to not spending too much time in battle. You can actually spend a lot of time, you know, quick leveling, because the battle system is a lot more quick-paced the battles now all take place on maps that are pretty much on the worlds that you're on. And, you know, the environments are pretty lush.
Not really. They still do the transition effect.
Well, I mean, they haven't figured that out.
And they still take you to some random, you know, same enclosed environment.
But it still looks kind of like the place that you're in.
It's like, yeah, but it does the Final Fantasy where it's like, okay, I'm running around in a tunnel, and then you're fighting in stereotypical tunnel fighting areas.
Oh, no, like kind of open, but you're in a tunnel.
Yeah, like not even like how the areas are designed so much as the fact that they still use the same enclosed environment. It's not like Final Fantasy like 12, or I'm trying to think of another game that does that. I mean, there really isn't one where it's just like you go.
Yeah, where it's like open world and the seamless transition from you seeing an enemy to you unsheathing your weapons to fighting. Meaning there's no transition. But I guess it's a little bit better because in the older games, it's like you'd be running on the map. That's like, and you're in a fight. Now it's like if you don't want to be in a fight, don't run into the enemies because they're there. But
yeah, because enemies, you can actually see them.
I guess I can't really give it points for doing that because they've been doing that since Chrono Cross. Been doing that since Chrono Trigger. Really, that was on the SNES like thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
So, but either way, the battle system actually lends itself towards other things, which is allowing you to kind of combo your different bonuses at the end of battle, because now when you complete battles, you get bonuses based on these tiles that are built up on the side of your game, which is called the bonus board. The bonus board holds up to 14 of these tiles, and you can get one of four colors. There's a green one for getting ambushed. The way that you get ambushed is you get into a battle with an enemy that is targeting you while you're close to another enemy. And as soon as you finish the first battle, a second battle will automatically start, and it'll say ambush, duh. And a green tile will show up. You want those because that's how you build up SP. SP is what you use to purchase special moves. And not just purchase, but to build up special moves, to build up your special abilities, your field skills, and all kinds of other stuff within the game. That's pretty much used to get you through the game because a lot of those skills are your battle skills, which you're going to need in battle. A lot of those are support skills, which you're going to need in order to support your characters, and so on and so forth. You have blue tiles, which are for doing critical finishes. Easiest way to do a critical finish is to do a blindside.
Which are impossible unless you have the, you know, manual. And or are willing to go through the, as yet unmentioned, 2-hour-plus tutorial they put in front of you in the beginning.
Yeah, really, because the beginning of the game starts off, there's a battle simulator. You're going to want to do that.
All of it.
But yeah, blindsiding is pretty much being targeted by enemies. You're going to hold on to the B button while you're charging and then hit a directional button when they target you. It sounds weird, but once you do it the first couple times, it's cake. There is a purple tile for doing a skill finish. Skills are set to your triggers. You get one for each trigger, so you kill an enemy with just a skill, you get a purple tile. Purple tile will give you bonus HP and MP at the end of fights. The blue tile, which I just talked about, is going to give you bonus experience. And then yellow tiles is for doing multiple kills. So meaning if you kill two enemies at the same time, multiple kill. Yay. You want those because that's how you make money. So please, I don't want to hear complaints later on the message boards over at J1 talking about that you can't make money or gain experience because the game is too hard. It's not hard. In fact, I'm playing on the higher difficulty. It's hard, but it's just because I need to level more. The battle system now leads itself to, I'd say, once again, quicker paced battles. So you don't spend a lot of time in battles, but you can spend more time kind of like gathering around, getting more energy, getting more money, getting more experience and everything so that you can move forward to the other areas.
It's like, yeah, if you're willing to learn the system, and I stress that, it's like you're actually able to progress through the game a lot faster than, say, someone who's just powering through it. Like, if you take the time to go, I'm going to level up, they reward you for that by, you know, again, the bonus board system and how you fight influences how you gain abilities and how you gain resources to enhance your characters and your party. So that's cool, but the only thing is that the system, as it starts, is like when you first get into like the whole fighting mechanic behind the game, like the game does very little to hold your hand outside of that tutorial. You can only access the tutorial if you're near your ship, which has the battle simulator in it, or you start a game over and access it from the title screen before starting your game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I forgot something. How can I? And it's like, oh, wow, my ship's like an hour and a half in that direction past all that stuff that damn near killed me.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget. Become an elephant. What else did you want to talk about?
As far as
exploration,
as far as the exploration is concerned, it's like the maps are huge, like dookie huge. Like if you don't know where you're going, you're not gonna find out any type soon. That type of huge.
It's cool though because you can hit the start button and kind of get a bearing for where you're at. Only thing about that is once you hit the start button, you can't move the map.
Like sit the map in a corner and then just use that to move. You have like a little tiny thing in the corner.
Auto map.
Yeah, and it's like and while you don't have to run through the area to fill it out, like in past Star Ocean games, like map completion no longer exists.
Jesus. Oh my God.
Like, it's still be more convenient to expand the map to the point where I can see a lot more of the surrounding area as opposed to just like.
Because it's like I start going in one area and I think this leads to something. It's like, oh, dead end. Gotta go back.
Yeah, and I gotta go past that thing that almost didn't make it past.
Exactly. So, like, for you guys powering through the game, it's like, whatever, the first boss is gonna regulate you. Regulate you nice and hard.
It's like, as far as exploration is continuing. They give you what I think is like a cruise control option, where it's like if you run in one direction and then hit the left trigger,
go.
Like you can just auto run.
I wish I could do that. But it's like go.
Yeah, it's like a
it's a dash.
It's like not the dash. Like that actually has an automatic walking mechanism, like akin to like Final Fantasy 11 or something like that. you just hold forward and just hit the left trigger and dude will just run. And you can change direction with the left analog stick without pressing forward.
I did not know that. I'm going to try that.
Their controllers or something, or they get lazy. So it's like I'm too fat to hold forward. Okay, here we go. And
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, that is stupid. I found that out.
I don't even know what the point of that is.
Again, like you got to get somewhere real far, and you just clear the map, and you don't feel like holding the button, whatever.
Wow,
it's kind of lazy, but it's there.
How lazy is that?
Nonetheless, and they also have for people who are just impatient and or are trying to evade enemies in a hurry. This is very handy. They have a dash button, which Mike just mentioned, that allows you to pretty much avoid anything nearby with, like, a quick press or just speed through the area real fast.
Yeah, it's like enemies about to hit you. Go!
Yeah, it pretty much just triples your running speed for, like, a split second. You're just, bam.
It's like step.
Like, the only problem is like, you can use this to, like, you know, set up enemies because depending on which direction you attack enemies from, you get bonuses before the battle starts. Like, if you hit them from the back, preemptive.
Yeah.
From the back. But no.
It's like that's life. Hit it from the back, you get a bonus. Bonus tile.
Oh, we are children, but no. Jesus Christ.
Are you playing footsies over there?
Somebody's foot hit mine under the table.
Oh, you don't like it when other people's feet hit your feet?
No.
Oh, you have like space issues?
Yes.
Space.
Issues with space.
You have issues with space. That's sad.
Space money. And games taking place in space.
Oh, man.
Like this one. But not like, as far as the exploration is concerned, my only complaint is that, like, it doesn't do very much to keep you as far as, like, okay, this is this. I have to get here. Like, you press the map, you can get your bearings, and it's like, cool, great, fine, whatever. But the maps are dumb huge. And if you're just trying to find items, you'll find yourself just walking around in, like, the same, like, mile, like literally, like mile stretch for like an hour, just scouring for crap.
It's like speaking of huge. How many discs is this game?
Three.
Yeah. I guess they have to because of the Xbox.
Yeah, it's a terribly long game, which means terribly long talking segments, which means ridiculously long cutscenes, and considering how predictable the dialogue is for the first stretch of the game, I'd say like the first like. The first two hours.
And then, no, like, it's really only the first 2 hours. I'll say this. After you beat that first boss, things really pick up.
They try to.
And the game gets a lot better. Like, as soon, because obviously you're in space. You're going to get off that first planet and go to another planet. You go to the second planet, the game drastically changes. Although I will say it might as well just be called Bloom Planet, because that's all they have on that planet is Bloom lighting.
Yeah, the graphics are, like, the character detail is great, but then, like, you look, you're like, oh my god, like, these anime characters are awesome, and then they move, you're like, they move, like, weird. Like, I never really settled on the fact that I was watching three-dimensional characters that look like anime characters, but move like real people. Like, they have, like, little nuances in the way they stand and, like, turn and talk to each other. It's disorienting. And, like, and then the lighting effects, which you just mentioned, just, like, everything is just ridiculously shiny. Like, the sun hits your character, and it's just, like, wow.
But
like,
here's the thing, though. At this point, we should not be playing ugly games. If your game is ugly...
I'm not saying it's ugly. I'm saying,
no,
like...
No, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying, in general, we're not going to be playing ugly games anymore going forward forever. Unless you have a Wii. But
Mad World.
It's like quick side note. Guess what sold more than Halo 3 to date? Just guess. You don't want to guess? All right, whatever.
I know. I'm
waiting. Wii Fit. Wii Fit to date has sold 6 million copies worldwide.
That's 6 million.
That means a game and a balance board is sitting in 6 million different homes right now.
That's 6 million.
And Halo is only sitting in 5.9. Sad. Very sad.
Sad for Halo.
Whatever, I don't care about Halo either.
No, do I.
Really?
Yeah, Halo's just afterthought.
Really? It really is an afterthought. It's like aftertaste. You're like, Halo. It's like, what does Halo taste like? Tastes like a power suit. Energy. Ah. Kenyans. Oh, we can't talk about that because that's racist.
Yeah, we can't talk about Kenyans.
And we can't talk about racism. Oh, man.
Like, the game's great.
I really shouldn't be saying this is really my problem, because I think this is more yours.
Oh.
Which is the, going along with the exploration, though, was the idea that, for those, once again, because we always talk about achievement hordes and achievement hunters, one of the achievements is tied to finding all the treasure chests in the game.
All of them.
Now,
hundreds.
The funny thing about opening treasure chests in this game is that, unfortunately, Trias hasn't figured out that people like to hold more than 20 of an item at any given time. But you can only hold 20 of an item at any given time in
only
the game.
Only 20. You go, so that's you a have, lot. You're, no, it's
you
not.
You have 20 blueberries, and you got to open a chest that has two. You better get rid of two. So you can go into your item menu, and you can hit the back button over the thing you want to get rid of. And it says, do you want to get rid of it? And you go over, and you hit yes, and he goes, and it gets rid of it. And then you have to do it again, so it goes, and it gets rid of that one. And then you open the chest, and you get the two blueberries. Or you could just use them on characters.
Yeah.
But the point is, I think that that's a very outdated system that they need to grow up over.
I think that's a move that it's like, you know, a lot of people
like, that's
go
a
like,
cop out.
Oh, I have a lot of this item. I don't need anymore. Like, whereas I'll go, there's an achievement for getting all these treasure chests. I need this. And that's a hassle for me because there's no place I can go to store the extra items that I
have.
Yeah,
really.
So there's like, I have to get rid of that I don't use. And like, to get something that I should be able to carry anyway, because every other RPG
exactly.
I ever
like
played allows me to stop
at the
to
very
100.
Least, like 99.
So
I understand
that bothers me.
I don't know.
Bothered me greatly.
I will say the game is pretty. Cutscenes are tolerable after the first 2 hours.
Aside from the dialogue.
Dialogue is standard JRPG nonsense. I mean, like, yo, we're American. What are you going to expect? You expect them to be like, hey, man, yo, we go to the corner store and we should get, you know, some Slim Jims.
It's like, I don't know. Cheese. Personally, I expect someone to write a compelling narrative that holds up and gets me interested in the game outside of its gameplay mechanics. You know, because the game, I mean, the game's fun, great. I mean, as long as it doesn't do the Metal Gear Solid and focuses too much.
Well, you do on understand that Asian people can't write because they can't see the paper. Why do you think their games are always so messed up? Because it's like they write it one way and then it goes to the translation company and they're like, what? And they just rewrite the entire story. That's why it sounds like trash. Why do you think translating games takes so long? Like when they bring games over to America? Okay.
Yeah, we should stop. We should stop. We should stop. Like the ability to write, notwithstanding the dialogue, not even so much what they're saying, so much as how they're saying it. Just unless you are highly tolerant of just like pissed the worst voiceovers,
because it's not even like they're good voiceovers. They're
not terribly bad either, but they're not at all. Like,
once again, you got to really like this game, and you really have to be like. Well, one, you don't have to be involved in the Star Ocean universe because this is a prequel, which is the cop-out. It's easy to do that.
Yeah.
So you don't have to know anything. And that's how they got more 360 people playing this game. Because 360 people were like, well, it's a Star Ocean, Ocean of Stars. No, it's a game that you play on your Xbox. I will say I'm very happy that they didn't make the achievements too easy to get, because they could have just copped out and been like, do this, do this, do this, beat the game. You got all the achievements. You have to try for them.
It's like, yeah, they're actual achievements, which I always appreciate.
It's like they brought back the battle trophy system from 3.
Which I'm not too appreciative.
Awesome idea. Stupid idea. It's like awesome idea in the fact that they're back. Stupid idea in the fact that every character has battle trophies.
Their own unique set of battle
and
trophies.
And there are 8 characters, and you have to get all the battle trophies, and they're dumb.
100 for each.
100 for each.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the sound of paper hitting the floor.
It's like, granted, I will say the game does what it's supposed to do. It's fun. It keeps me entertained. The battle system is awesome. Exploring is awesome. Character development, as far as like building your characters and selecting abilities and building those abilities up, is great. The item creation system, if I could carry it around with me everywhere I go instead of having to be
see,
in
but
one
that's
place
the thing though.
The
reason, the way that they reason this out is the fact that in the old, we're calling them older games, but really technically they're newer. The newer games, you could item create anywhere because at that point they had refined item creation so that you could do it basically with you at any time. This, once again, is the beginning of space. Space date. Space whatever.
Yeah, cool.
So
great.
They whatever. Okay, so that's their cop-out. But the thing is, you got to be at your ship to do item creation. And whatever, personally, I like Welch. And I like creating items. So
most people won't like Welch. And if you don't know what Welch is, that's good. You'll find out when you play the game.
I need to find that track. Just toke, 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 toke. This thing is so stupid.
Need to find that stick with that hand on it.
That yo, and you know what the funny thing is? They added that character to Star Ocean Second Evolution. Like the person with the pointer stick. I'm like, oh, it's Welch. What? What's she doing in this game?
Oh, wow.
She...
Welch is a playable character in Star
Ocean.
Yeah, Welch
is Star like the Second Evolution.
Wow, well, I did not know that.
Yeah, they just threw her in there. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like item creation is a little weird now. Because it's not like you have all the things open to you at once. Each different character brings one new thing to item creation.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to wait. Like, you're going to have to play a good chunk of the game before you're able to do everything with
about
item creation.
About 60 hours.
But once you get far enough into the game, you should be creating all kinds of stuff. Because it's like you can do item creation with different characters in groups of threes. And you can do different combinations. So imagine 9 people... And you can make up to 4 different groups, I mean, like the combinations. And you can just make all kinds of stuff, different armors, different weapons, different, pretty much any item in the game that you can get.
So you want to get the most out of
make.
The game, it's mandatory that you get into item creation as soon as possible.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that to stay on top of your enemies, because if not, they're just going to be running all over top of you.
I mean, if you're just trying to play the game, you can just play the game and be happy with it. But if you want to, you know, enjoy the experience for what it's worth, then, like, you know, that's what you want to do. Like, again, we want to reinforce that, like, the game's not bad. And when we say you have to specifically when I say you have to suffer through the first, you know, like, 2, 3, maybe even 4 hours, we're talking about a game that's going to take you at least 50 hours if you're running through it to get through. And if you want to see everything, you're hundreds
of hours. And then, like, yo, you got to play through the game at least 3 times.
At least.
Because it's like there's 4 different difficulties, but I recommend you play it on Galaxy first, just because you're going to have to play through it 2 more times, and that... you know, get through the fact you have to play an extra time. So it's like there's Earth level, which is easy. There's Galaxy, which is a little harder. Then there's Universe, and then subsequently Chaos, which is, you know, obviously, duh, Chaos. And, you know, whatever. It's like they raise enemy levels. They raise the rush gauges, which is the ability to do more damage to you. And, you know, subsequently make you not play the game.
Yeah, right.
Gosh, I don't know. What else do you want to talk about?
That's about it. I would just like to reinforce that despite my complaining, because that's mostly what I did, I complained. It's like, I really like the game, and I would recommend that if you are an RPG nut, you probably already have it anyway, but if you're not, and if you're contemplating getting it, then just rent it, and just, like, run through, like, the first, like, you know, 3 or 4 hours, and if the gameplay is enough to keep you hooked, then rest assured it gets better. It's just that
it's like, yeah, you just gotta get through the beginning of the game, because it's like there's a lot of narrative in the beginning, but once you get past that, the game picks up a lot more. And once again, it's like, you have a 360, what else you're playing? You're done Resident Evil.
Better be.
You should be. And if you're not done Resident Evil, you get Resident Evil. But it's like, if you are an RPG fan and you have a 360 and you've been aching for that next little nugget, that little cranberry or canberry egg.
Canberry.
Is it cranberry egg? Oh, that would be delicious, too.
It's Cadbury.
Like an egg made out of cranberry.
It's a Cadbury egg?
It's
a Cadbury egg, like C-A-D-B-U-R-Y.
Yeah, that's right. And they have it's the chocolate with the cream in the middle.
Yeah.
Delicious. Get yourself Star Ocean, The Last Hope, Cadbury egg.
Yeah, do that.
All right.
The game, not the egg.
Yeah, get the egg, too, because, you know, that's how Jesus was created. The Cadbury egg. What do you think the holiday's about? Like, Easter? It's about a bunny who made eggs and then subsequently made Jesus. All right, this is ridiculous now. This has been Reset. This is episode 10. I would like to remind people that up until, you know, the end of next week, because I'm extending the contest, the Halo Wars contest is still going on the forum. Yes. Over at www.j1studios.com.
Tell them what they win, Mike.
What do you win? You get to win a DLC for the game Halo Wars, which puts flame decals and a danger symbol all on your warthogs. What else do they win?
What else?
They also win a copy of the game.
Oh, shit.
I'm giving you the game and DLC. All you got to do is come over, talk on the forum. You got to come over, register on the form.
Register.
You have to go to the contest thread, and then in the contest thread, there is a big sign that says Halo Wars plus extra now, because I had to modify it.
And then you click that.
And then you leave a comment.
You post a comment.
And you leave the best comment. You leave the best comment, and guess what? I'm sending you a free game and some DLC.
What should this comment consist of, Mike?
This comment should consist of anything. I don't care. It could be Halo-related. It could be non-Halo-related. It could be you holding up a sign that says, I love Reset. Be a chick if you do it because you're a dude. I'm not looking at it. I at this point, I don't care. I'm giving away a free video game. So come over and register on the forum. This is not open to any of the moderators on the site. So just had to put that out there. Don't be a mod. Don't mod comment. Admiral Akbar knows it's a trap. Stop touching my feet. This has been Reset, guys. It's like, it's been wonderful. We'll see you guys next week. All right? Peace.
That 6'6 long dick slim nigga sticking your cheek, pulling tricks, looking slick at all times when I'm flipping, bar sipping, car dipping, Grant Wood grain gripping, steel tipping, I'm still tipping, I'm still rapping, still rapping, still rapping, still hoping, still no hacking, no hanging, still blowing on that endo, GameCube, Nintendo, 5% tint, so you can't see up there.